You are listening to Keyboard Sonata in D Minor by Bella Fleck from the album Perpetual, and that's because we are going to talk about a perpetual issue tonight. Why we as a society, I can't talk to thee, why we as a society can't seem to manage our weight and metabolism with diet. Our guest in a few minutes is going to be Dr. Tom Kersting. He has written several books, one of which is called Fat Proof, which I want to ask him about that title so badly, and a new book called Losing Weight When Diets Fail. We'll be with Dr. Kersting in just a minute. This is Sherry Edwards, and this is BBS Radio, the show Sound Health, and we're very happy that you could join us for the next hour. We're going to talk about some information right on the edge and options for self-health. Only those with vision listen to BBS. We're going to be taking calls tonight, this audience participation show. The toll-free number for the United States, 877-876-5227. Toll-free for Canada, 888-815-9756. And the direct line, 530-876-3222. And as always, we will be monitoring Sound Health at soundhealth.org. We know some of you use your phone to or your phone lines to listen to the show, so you can't call us, but you can at least send us an email. There's a couple of announcements before we start. Oh, we're also monitoring radio at vocalprofileing.com. So a few announcements. Thank you for being very, very patient with us at Sound Health. We are moving, and we are in the building. We are just not straightened up. Everything's in chaos, or seems to be. It probably doesn't look that way to anybody but those of us on the inside. And for those of you who have written to us about the Coast to Coast show, we've just received an avalanche of mail and phone calls and emails, and we're attempting to get back to you as soon as possible. We've hired three new people to answer the phone, so whoever you get might not be very experienced with the phone. Be patient with them, and we're trying to catch up. One of our problems in trying to catch up is that we don't have enough people trained to take care of what's going on. So if you're interested in joining us for a free class about how you can become involved, please get in touch with Heather, H-E-A-T-H-E-R, at vocalprofiling.com. And thanks for all of you who have volunteered to help us do the beta testing on the new online vocal profiling program that deals with personality and finding out who you really are. It's very exciting to be able to offer that program online because it talks to people about what's real and what's authentic and just helps them find out who they are. Okay, on to our guest. I've got some great questions to ask Dr. Tom Kersting. He holds a bachelor's degree in psychology, a master's in counseling and human development, a master's degree in administration and supervision, and a PhD in clinical hypnotherapy. He has written a new book, Losing Weight When Diet Fails. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kersting.
Thanks for having me, Sherry.
I am fascinated by how you came from psychology and counseling and clinical hypnotherapy to diet. How did you get there?
Well, about 5 or 6 years ago, I'm a licensed therapist out here right outside of New York. I started implementing these techniques with clients of mine to help them lose weight, and it was really based on, you know, the power of the mind. You know, you hear that expression all the time, you know, it's all in your head or it's 90% mental. And basically, I discovered a tool to allow people to begin to use the power of relaxation, imagery, and visualization to free their subconscious minds of the cravings and the compulsions and the struggle and the self-denial and all that stuff, so that being disciplined and eating healthfully and being in control of the amount you're eating and sparking the motivation to start exercising, all of those things started to happen, and it's just it's been amazing. And now it's a book, and it's out there for everybody to learn how to do. And in the book, Losing Weight When Diets Fail.
How do we get fat?
Well, that's That's a very good question, and it's a very universal question. You know, our society, it's really a societal issue nowadays. I mean, you look at, 65% of America is overweight. It's the highest ever. The diet industry is, I think it's now $60 billion. Yet we're the fattest people on the planet. It has to do with our culture. Everything revolves around food, the marketing of food, the sedentary nature of the things we do these days because of technology. So many different factors, and food is a central part in our culture. And, when you learn how to take control of what it is you're doing, and that has to come from the mind, and that's what people are going to learn in losing weight when diets fail.
Well, we eat a lot of processed foods, a lot of chemicals in it. Our bananas come from some other country, green, and we gas them to make them ripe. How much does this have to do with just poor food that's available? Not just poor food choices, I'm going to have a banana or a cookie, but the food itself just isn't quality.
That's an interesting question. I haven't done much research on that end, but I can tell you this. The bottom line is, if you're going to gain weight or whether you're going to lose weight, it boils down to one thing, and that's calories. The amount of calories you're consuming and expending per day. And unfortunately, the kinds of foods that are out there, all those processed foods you're talking about, they're just loaded with calories and fat, and it's just going to equal one thing, and that's weight gain. And, until people begin to, change their whole outlook on eating, it's going to be an uphill battle, and, now there's a way of doing it.
We just had a lady in the clinic here at Sound Health, and she had had bloody diarrhea for 3 weeks. We looked at her print and found out it was olestra and oline, two fat substitutes, and she was on a diet program, a very famous diet program, and come to find out they had these fat substitutes in it as a way of losing weight. And then you read about stomach stapling and other really radical kinds of things. That's just incredible that our society has put that out there as a choice, as a diet.
It's just, it's amazing. Again, the diet industry is just, it's a booming industry. And, statistics, show that 95% of diets fail. It doesn't mean people aren't going to lose weight initially, but 95% of the time you're going to gain that weight back and then some. And, dieting is not the answer. The answer is learning how to be in control of your behavior. And the only way to learn how to be in control of behavior is to learn how to control your mind. And, I'm not talking about the conscious mind. I'm talking about that hidden area, that subconscious. And that's all addressed in this book, Losing Weight When Diets Fail.
Well,
but there's just so, we could talk for hours all night about everything.
there's a CD with the book, and it's hypnotic.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you just go into the core of the mind using hypnosis to do this? Is that what, just explain power programming.
Here's the interesting thing. The book is broken down into three parts, the book Losing Weight When Diets Fail. The first part, in order for you to, really... To begin to benefit from the power of your mind, to be able to use your mind to help you overcome, the dessert at grandma's house, for example, you need to develop an awareness first, an awareness of what you're doing. And when I mean an awareness, I mean when you're sitting down and you are completely paying attention to your hunger, you're actually analyzing the food in front of you and asking yourself, do I really even want that? And part one of Losing Weight When Diets Fail uncovers all of that for the reader. So really creates an open-mindedness, okay, which is very, very important. We move into part two of the book, and it explains just how your mind works, the different levels of consciousness, very interesting stuff. And part three shows the reader exactly how to begin implementing, how to begin using these techniques. And then finally there's the CD, and I ask anybody who's listening, just, the book is very short, it's 150 pages, very easy read. Read through the book before you you're tempted to pop that CD in, because the power in the CD, it will be that much greater if you read all the material first. And we all have the ability to do this. We all have the ability to tap into that mental resource. And once you do, and it's finally out there now in this book, You know, you're going to be able to make changes that you never thought you could make.
Well, a lot of BVS listeners are self-doers.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a great combination. You read about what's going on. You pop in the CD. How many times should they listen to this? Over time, once?
Well, no, a little more than that. The CD has, there's actually 8 tracks on it. The first track's just an introduction. Tracks 2 to 5 are what are considered very brief relaxation exercises. And as you go through the book, you can begin to use them more towards the beginning. They'll explain, you know, in the first couple of chapters. And then the meat and potatoes of the CD are tracks 6, 7, and 8. And those are the longer actual power programming tracks, the exercises, which are, you know, really based on unlocking your motivation and self-control, cracking the code through eating habits, and strengthening all of that stuff. So it's a really cool thing. There's been a lot of positive feedback from this book so far. People are really doing some good stuff.
Well, I listened to part of it, and it's very, very relaxing. So
oh, my gosh. It is so relaxing. I mean, it's interesting because I have people all the time, clients in my private practice and people who have read the book, you know, for losing weight. And the secondary gain, which was actually unintentional, is that it will, if you have stress, just listening to this stuff is going to begin to de-stress you all the time. So it's very, very relaxing, absolutely. And relaxation is the key to, proper relaxation is really the key to eliminating stress. And, you know, when you eliminate stress in your life, that in and of itself is helping you change your eating habits.
Well, I had to fight it because I knew I had to get up and do the show here. to suggest that people do this while they're going to sleep or in some...
To answer your question, I apologize. Basically, you know, the like I said, the meat and potatoes part, track 6, 7, and 8, what you'll do is you'll listen to track 6 every day, okay, for the first week. Then the second week, you can move on to track 7, listen to that every day for a week. And then you can move on to the final track, track 8, the third week. That's why it's a 3-week program. And then after that, you know, once you've loaded your mind with all this fresh, juicy info, all this new programming, this discipline, this self-control, you don't need to listen to it every day. You could, pop it in, I would say try to do it once a week, just to keep this stuff fresh in your mind. And, each track, it's about 15 minutes, and it's people are going to probably want to listen to it more than that because it is so relaxing and fruitful.
Do they do this in the morning or while they're taking their shower?
You can do it really, I try to tell people do it during your lunch hour,
mm-hmm.
At work. I mean, let's face it, we're running around all the time, so busy between work and, kids and everything else going on in life. If you could take a, 15-minute break, even if you have a car and just go park somewhere and put it in the CD player of your car and listen to it then or... you could do it at home at night. You might fall asleep because it is very relaxing. In the morning, your mind is always most receptive in the morning. But, for somebody to listen to it in the morning, I know people are rushing around in the morning. But, any time that's convenient for somebody, there's no real great time that's that much better than another. It's just important to make the time for it. And the changes will definitely show.
Well, let's warn them about doing it while they're driving.
I know. There is a disclaimer in the, when you listen to the introduction, it says don't listen to it while you're driving. The truth is you're not going to, fall asleep listening to it while you're driving. I'm not saying you should go do that. I happen to do it. I have a golf CD that I created to help me, with my golf game. And I also have another weight loss CD I did about 6 years ago. And, your mind is actually very receptive during those times when you're actually driving your car. But it does say don't listen to it while driving your car. So if you do... That's your call, but nothing will happen to you. I can assure you of that.
We've been eating all of our life. So what you're saying is we've been unconscious about our choices.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of your information is just bringing this unconscious eating to awareness, so we can have more choices, more control.
Right. Excuse me. In the beginning of the book, it explains, if you look at your mind like a computer, because that's really what it is. It's just everything that you experience every moment of every day of your life is like recorded unconsciously in your mind. And that area of our mind really gets filled with what I call viruses in the book. virus-infected software, okay? And that's the stuff that makes you eat when you're not hungry, makes you binge when you're, you know, unhappy or frustrated. It makes you, you know, eat all these high-calorie comfort foods. Your mind becomes programmed to do that because of everything you're exposed to every day. When you begin using the power programming method in this book, Losing Weight When Diets Fail, you'll actually uninstall those programmings in your mind, those viruses. You'll begin to replace it with new software, what I call Make Me Thin software. And it's amazing because anybody who's listening, you will literally see your cravings just vanish. You'll notice, healthy, good, moderate eating habits start to develop. You'll notice a motivation that you've never had before to exercise. All of these things will be, you know, ingrained into your mind, programmed into that subconscious, like software into your computer, into your mental computer. And from that point on, it's just, you know, avoiding certain things and avoiding the cake and the dessert and the big portions and the foods you know you shouldn't eat. It becomes an effortless endeavor because it begins in the mind. Every action we take begins with thought, and thought isn't what we think it is. Thought is the thought beyond our conscious rationale.
Well, we have a question from the audience. It's from
Great. Casey.
Are there subliminals on your CD?
I wouldn't say there are any intentional subliminals, but basically, whenever you're in a deep level of trance, which is kind of what it's like, your mind is very susceptible to subliminal messages. So the repetitiveness, of the suggestions and the imagery, in this CD, can act the same way that a subliminal message will. But there are no hidden, messages in there, because there doesn't need to be, because a subliminal means bypassing your conscious critical mind. Because you'll already be in a relaxed subconscious state, your conscious mind will already be bypassed. So all the information, all of the suggestions and the visualizations and stuff that you'll listen to, your mind will be receptive to them just the same way it would be to a subliminal message. If that makes sense. Hopefully I answered your question.
Yeah. This is a question for me. Just what's the difference in the three issues you talk about in your book, natural weight loss, healthy weight loss, and easy weight loss?
Well, natural weight loss, this is a very normal method because we're using a resource that we're born with. So we're not really going against ourselves. We're working with ourselves in a very natural way. You're just learning how to use your mind. So you're not, trying to pop some pill or, go on some new wacky eating plan where you're eating, flaxseed and all this other stuff. It's a much more natural response to eating. As far, easy weight loss, it's as simple as that. Once you begin to learn how to use your mind, which with dieting, there's always going to be that self-denial, that struggle, oh my God, I wish I could have that. Wish I could have that ice cream kind of attitude. But when you begin to do the methods in this book, Losing Weight When Diets Fail, you're not going to have any of that. So it's an easy, it's effortless. Half the time you don't even know you're doing it. And what was the last one, the third one? Easy, healthy,
easy,
I don't even remember. Well, say it again.
Easy weight loss.
Right, and which I just explained. It just becomes, just absolutely effortless. When you're in control of that mental part, that it's all in your head part, it's just, it's effortless. I had a lady, I'll give you a quick story. I had a woman that had seen a couple of years back. She had come to my office, and her biggest issue was that every night after she put her kids to bed, she would eat an entire pint of Ben & Jerry's ice cream. Okay, that was the thing that was making her gain weight, obviously. So I saw her for one session. She comes back the following week, and I asked her, I said, well, how'd you do this week? And she said, I don't know. And so my next question was, well, did you have any ice cream this week? She looked at me, paused, and had this bewildered look on her face, and said, no. My point is, she didn't, until I asked her that question, this is somebody who had a pint of ice cream every night for years. I mean every night, 7 nights a week. And after, she had done this stuff once with me, the following week when I asked her that question, she not only did she not have ice cream, she didn't even know she didn't have ice cream. It became so automatic for her. And the reason why she didn't know is because now that her mind was programmed in a new way, okay, she just didn't want to do that. She didn't even, wasn't part of her anything anymore. It doesn't seem extraordinary to the mind. It just becomes normalized. I could tell you many, many stories like that.
That fits into a question that just came in from Sharon. Says, I was raised on a farm. Food was a reward when we got the work done. Can your system help if I'm using food as a reward?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, that's actually, believe it or not, using food as a reward fits in the category of emotional eating, and I'll explain that. And the book actually explains that. There's a nice section on emotional eating, and I came up with my own theory about that, and it makes a lot of sense. Food has been, in every way, shape, and form in our society, food has been paired with well-being, with feeling good, with reward. I'll give you an example. When you think of a holiday like Thanksgiving, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Food. When you think of a birthday party, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Food. When you think of, going on a cruise or on a vacation, food. When you think of going to your friend's house on a Friday night, food is always part of it. So my point is, in every aspect of our society, anything that involves pleasure or wellness, feel-good things and events, food is part of the equation. And your mind learns to associate, feeling good with eating. And that's a perfect example, Sherry. When you're as a little kid or whatever, I have a 4-year-old son, and, I see it all the time, and I'm not going to say I haven't been guilty of this myself at times, that I catch myself. You give them a cookie or something if they're good. And they learn at a very young age to pair, feeling good and doing a good thing and all the other stuff I just mentioned with food. So what do you think happens when we're feeling down? If we're sitting on our couch and we're bored at night and we're searching for stimulation, or we're depressed or we're sad, your mind is searching for wellness. It's searching for stimulation, and boom, automatically you start getting cravings for food. Make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
A couple more questions have come in. Maybe you've answered part of this one, but weight problems were not an issue for our ancestors. What happened?
Well, the way we eat, okay, you ready for this? This is a good one. The way we eat has changed more in the last 40 years than the previous 40,000 years.
Ooh.
Okay? So, the food industry is a booming industry. I'm not sure who the caller was, but whoever they are, most likely, unless they live in the middle of Idaho, they could walk out of their house right now and have access to anything they want, whether it be pizza, some sort of a burger, or fast food, or Chinese food. It's all out there. And food is, you can get a lot more for your money these days. The dollar is going to take you further. Our ancestors didn't have the kind of access to food that we have nowadays. And, it just wasn't feasible, even if they did have access, to go out and spend money on that, because money, it wasn't what it is today. The other issue is, when you look at our society, you have, dual working families. We work longer hours than ever in our country. We work actually 9.5 more weeks per year than Europeans do, 9.5 weeks per year more on average. So with all of that, now you have this convenience factor. You're driving home from work. It's, 7 o'clock at night. And the last thing you want to do is cook when you know that you're going to pass 15 places where you can bring something in, relatively inexpensively. And anytime you're bringing food in, it's always going to be higher in calories and just not good for you like it is for like a good home cooked meal. So our ancestors, everything was different in their total eating habits than what ours are today. Hopefully I answered that question for you.
I've noticed just in our community, well, we don't really have a community. I live out in the boonies in the farm in Ohio. And one of the things I've noticed in the last couple of decades in just following health statistics is the diabetes statistics for young people, and I'm talking 25 and below,
yes,
has risen 17%. And I blame it on moving from garden to boxed food.
Yeah, you know what, Sherry, another thing, type 2 diabetes, and I think Losing Weight When Diets Fail, my book, talks a little bit about this in there too somewhere. Type 2 diabetes used to be called adult onset diabetes, and it can no longer be called that because I think 80 children, and I'm talking 5 to 10-year-olds, or between the ages of 5 and 15, roughly 80 children per day in the United States are being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Adult onset diabetes, and that has to do with this weight problem, and of course all that processed food, Sherry, as equals more calories, everything else, everything that's going to cause you to gain weight. So it's a scary, scary statistic. And, you know, with that, with type 2 diabetes comes, you know, a much greater risk for heart disease and stroke. So we're looking at, you know, possible collapse in the healthcare system down the road with, you know, with this problem with children and everything. And, you know, it's a scary thing. And, and hopefully, you know, what I'm doing now is going to help. I go out and I do a lot of talks all the time to, you know, parents and, you know, schools and everything about all this stuff. And, you know, hopefully, you know, that stuff along with, my new book, Losing Weight When Diets Fail, is going to, you know, start making people think now. That's really my whole goal. But think at another level, subconsciously.
Do you help them make choices like I need to back up. I see so many overweight children in the grocery store, and the basket's full of sugared cereals and pop and Kool-Aid and on and on. It's easy. It'll shut them up. But I think it's just ruining the next generation for thinking. Because when we look at these kids who have multiple sensitivities, it's the sugars and wheats and things like that. What kind of diet support do they need or not? I mean, do they just automatically start picking out fruits instead of Fruit Loops?
Well, you know what? You know what that comes down to, Sherry? And people might not want to hear this, but I got to say it anyway. What a kid eats is a reflection of what their parents are eating, bottom line. And if the parents aren't eating it and they're feeding their kids that stuff, then it's a reflection of what they're feeding them. People have asked me, will Losing Weight When Diets Fail, the book, will it help children? Now, the book, and my answer is yes. Now, the book, you know, it's not meant for a young kid to read and to begin using these things, but it will help children because an adult that begins to take control of their own health and begins to lose weight and begins to take control of the way they're eating and the motivation to exercise, an adult that does that is going to transfer all of those behaviors to their children. So, you know, kids that are overweight, it's got to boil down to the parents and, what it is that they're purchasing and what they're providing their kids.
Do you have children?
I do. I have a 4-year-old boy and a 7-month-old daughter.
Okay, so they don't go to school yet.
Well, actually, my son goes to preschool, and it's interesting. I took him to a birthday party today, as a matter of fact. And, you know, you can't deny a kid everything. I mean, that's just not, you know, you don't want to deny them because then they're going to, you know, have the opposite approach later on. But, we have been feeding him, you know, organic fruits and vegetables since he's a young child. Healthy foods, just things that are good for you. There is no potato chips and junk food in my house. It's not here. And he loves just peppers. I don't even know where he got that from. I don't know where he got them, but he loves peppers and carrots and all that stuff. So, you know, when we go to a birthday party, like a day like today, you know, they had cake and stuff. And he had, they were a nice-sized piece of the cake they gave the kids. He had he only had a little bit of it. He took a couple of bites of it, and that was it. He didn't want any more of it. So, if you begin teaching him at a young age, I think there's this temptation that kids have for junk food, it boils down to the caller who, called in a little while ago and said, at a young age, we reward kids with food. So we create this, excitement in them for junk food. But if we could take that excitement out of the equation, you'd be fascinated at how much kids actually love fruits and vegetables if you introduce them to it. They really do.
There was a study done by a guy by the name White, and he just put out all kinds of food and let the kids pick their own food. And yes, they did sweets at first, but they eventually started picking a balanced diet.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny you say that, Sherry, because I was just doing a radio show a couple weeks ago, and I was telling the host, I said to her, listen, and this was live in New York, actually. Not live, it was taped in New York City. And, she was sitting across from me, and I said, it was a question about, junk food or something. I said, listen, tell me what your favorite fruit is right now. She said, it's strawberries. So I said, okay. Now, if you were a little bit hungry right now, and I gave you a beautiful ripe strawberry, okay, you'd want more, right? And she said, of course. So I said, okay, if I had just given you a beautiful, delicious strawberry and you sunk your teeth into it, and then I said, okay, and I whipped out a chocolate bar and then a nice bowl of strawberries, I said, choose one. Most likely she would have chosen the strawberries because she just took a bite of it. Her mouth has been stimulated by it. And she actually, guess what, likes the strawberries. And she probably likes them more than she does the chocolate. But, you know, it's not, that kind of stuff, the healthy stuff isn't, you know, there's not $3 billion a year in marketing being thrown out there in every media outlet there is for the healthy stuff, like fruits and vegetables. It's all about junk food and fast food, and, you know, creates that excitement factor. But if you focus on what you actually like, yeah, anybody who's listening right now out there, you like, you know, it's probably 99% of you like, you know, fruits and vegetables, certain ones, maybe not all of them, but you certainly like them, and other healthy foods. And the key is to get your mind to begin to, you know, start eating those things. And that's what I, you know, this is what the whole premise of losing weight with Diet Sale.
And it's easy and it's quick. I want to go back to the birthday party. My daughter-in-law, son and daughter-in-law, fed their baby nothing but breast milk and homemade food, and for his first birthday got him cake, and they just gave him the cake to see what he'd do with it. He put some of it in his mouth and spit it out. He wouldn't even eat it.
Absolutely, because he's not used to it. It wasn't something his taste buds were accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's you know, it's almost like we force kids to have this stuff. They're adults still, you know, through the birth, because we're the ones getting, you know, the junk food at the birthday parties. We're the ones, you know, giving them the cookies when they're good and giving them the ice cream and doing all the things, you know, rewarding our kids with this stuff. And they, you know, start to develop, a taste for it. But, you know, could you imagine if our society began to, you know, reward our kids with, like, nice, you know, fresh cut-up fruit and stuff like that? And why can't that be a reality? Everybody's got to be on the same page.
Yeah. I think it's nuts for a dentist to give a kid a lollipop as a reward for leaving.
Right. Yeah. And it's okay. You know, it's all right for a kid to, you know, to have a cookie and stuff every now and then. It's just not, you know, not good to be, you know, feeding this, you know, junk food to them, you know, all the time, every day. It's not, you know, it's gonna catch up to them.
It'd be a good thing to start in the schools. Here they get white bread sandwiches, they get pizza, a lot of starch. And I think when you really look at some of the overweight kids, it's starches and the starch in grain that they're having trouble with.
Yeah, and you know, the problem, and I tell a lot of parents this when I go out and do talks, you know, I hear, you know, parents will ask me all the time, they say, well, you know, Mike, you know, the food they serve at school, it's just, there's nothing we can do because it's terrible. So my answer to that is, you know, don't send your kid to school with no money and pack him your own lunch, but make, you know, take the time to make him a nice, healthy, you know, turkey sandwich or something the night before on whole wheat bread. And if you, you know, eliminate the choices of all the, you know, that junk food and stuff that does exist at schools and, you know, start, you know, sending them their lunch in a lunchbox or a brown bag, it's going to make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a bit about, you say you speak. Can you tell us a little bit about your schedule and where you speak and what kind of groups? And
yeah, you know, I speak, you know, I live out on the East Coast, so I speak mostly out here, you know, where I can go in driving distance. You know, unless there's a, you know, a good one where I could fly to, that's going to pay well, I guess you could say. But, you know, I speak a lot to, you know, schools hire me to come in and speak to the parents in the evenings. You know, they talk to them about childhood obesity. I go out and I talk about stress. I speak to all kinds of organizations, like the, you know, health departments and, you know, obesity task forces and, you know, different, I can't, you know, so many different places. It's on my website, a bunch of them. My website is www.losingweightwhendietsfail.com. And, you know, it's just interesting stuff. And this book, Losing Weight When Diets Fail, you know, it's just, it's amazing the feedback that I'm getting because it's, you know, finally there's something out there, a book out there, an approach to losing weight that does not involve dieting. You know, because when you're talking about dieting, you know, there's one thing every diet has in common, and that is struggle and self-denial. And imagine eliminating that part of the equation out of weight loss, where it just becomes an easy, you know, you're in the mode. You know what I mean? You're in the flow. That's what's going to happen.
How easy is putting on a CD?
Pardon me?
How easy is putting on a CD?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just, you know, it's such an, exactly. And, you know, and then flipping through the book, you know, it's 150 pages. It's like a handbook. And that just, all that's going to do is just expand your entire awareness about a lot of stuff we're talking about now. And once you have that level of open-mindedness, that powerful subconscious that we all have, which is like a sponge, you know, will begin to work for you. And, you know, the results are just staggering.
We have a question from Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
What do you think of weight loss surgery? Stomach stapling in particular.
Well, you know, I know it's, you know, it's big, you know, big time now. I mean, there's so many of them going on around. Now, one thing I can tell you, Kathy, is that, when you have somebody who's, you know, it's really supposed to be for people who are morbidly obese, like 100 pounds overweight or more. You know, it's a tough one, because I believe that anybody, you know, when they're in the right mindset, if you're 100, 200, or 300 pounds overweight, you can lose weight, because when you begin to address that whole craving and the emotional aspect of it. Because the bottom line is, the only thing that's causing weight gain is excessive calories, period. If you were deprived, if you were like, you know, in the concentration camps during World War II, people were, they were deprived of food. And if you took somebody who was 100 pounds overweight and put him back, you know, 60 years ago or whatever it was, and put him in a concentration camp, they'd lose 100 pounds. Simple as that, because they wouldn't be able to consume the amount of calories they had. So, you know, for people who have the gastric bypass, you know, of course they do lose weight, and in many cases it's probably the right thing to do, because if they hadn't done that, they might die. But at the same time, you know, it definitely boils down to the whole self-control factor. And oftentimes when people are that far gone, they completely give up, they lose hope, and they get caught up in their emotions, and, you know, eating becomes their drug. And, you know, just like any other addiction, you know, it's a mental thing, and until you start addressing that mental piece, you know, it's not gonna happen for you. So, you know, to answer your question, I think, you know, in many cases it is something that's necessary, but I think if, you know, again, if people began to learn how to use their minds to control themselves, and had some patience, they'd be able to do it on their own.
For those people who are sending in questions about the classes, I will answer you privately after the show. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you, but I don't want to take up Dr. Kirsten's time with that. Here's another question from the audience. Is your stuff like The Secret, where you create your own reality?
Oh, my God. You know, I'm so happy whoever just asked me that question, because I got to tell you a quick story. A woman, a colleague of mine, she had heard me speak. I spoke at this American Heart Association event, and she came up to me, the lady, okay? This is about 2 months ago, and she said to me, and I was, you know, the book wasn't even out yet, but I had an advanced reading copy, and of course I was talking a little bit about it. And the lady comes up to me and says, "Dr. Tom, you're going to be on Oprah." And I said, you know, sheepishly, I said, "Well, yeah, that'd be nice." And she said, "No, you're supposed to say, yes, you're right, I am going to be on Oprah." So I said, "Yeah, you're right, I am going to be." And she laughed, and then she started going into The Secret, talking about The Secret. And I had no idea what she was talking about, and I kind of forgot about it. And several weeks later, she emails me, you know, saying, "Hey, it was nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah." And she said, "Did you look into The Secret yet?" So I go to the website, The Secret website. And it was I was a little turned off by the website, but I said, you know what? I'm going to order the DVD anyway. I ordered it, and it was just amazing how the impact it had on me personally. I went through, and then I got the book and the CDs, and it began to dawn on me that, you know, my life has been based on those principles, and it's what I preach at my private practice, not just for weight loss, but for people suffering from other things. And since then, I must have had, after that, I had seen The Secret, about 10 different people in a week's time at different events and stuff came up to me in the exact same way and said, "You're going to be on Oprah." Just like that. It's unbelievable. And since then, people who have read the book have said, this is very similar to The Secret. You know, your book is very similar, but it's, you know, geared directly towards weight loss, because it's all about the mind and what you're thinking. And, you know, the whole idea with The Secret is, you know, what you think about is what you bring about. So if you think you can't lose weight, guess what? You can't lose weight. If you begin to think, yes, I can lose weight, I can be disciplined, I can be motivated, guess what? You're going to be disciplined and you're going to be motivated. And that's how we get people on track in losing weight when diet fails. So that's a great question. I'm glad whoever asked that did ask that, because, again, that comes back to me with my own experience with The Secret, because the universe keeps responding to me about The Secret.
It fits right into the next question that just came in. I don't think I can be hypnotized, so there's the negative thinking.
Oh, I hear, I hear that one all the time. And the thing is, whoever asked that question, you know, when people hear the word hypnosis or hypnotized, they think of, you know, the stuff that they see on the stage or what they see on television. And that's pure entertainment. That's not really what it is, not, you know, from a therapeutic standpoint. The truth is, you know, hypnosis is not a thing. It's a state of mind. There's four levels of brainwave activity: theta, beta, alpha, and delta. The two middle ones, whenever you're in those two middle ones, you are hypnotized. ride, you're in a hypnotic trance state. When you're driving your car and you pass your exit, and your mind is wandering, you know, that's why you did that, you're in a hypnotic state, believe it or not. Your brainwave activity is reduced. When you're watching television or a movie or reading a book, your brainwave activity reduces and you go into a trance-like hypnotic state. When you go to sleep at night, you slip through all those levels of consciousness. So to answer that question, it's not a matter of whether you can or cannot. The fact is you are hypnotized every day of your life. It's impossible not to be. And because in order for you to fall asleep tonight, you have to go through a hypnotic state in order to get there. So, and I explain all of that in the first chapter of the book, in Losing Weight When Diets Fail, in a very, simple way. So you'll begin, of course I can be hypnotized. I am hypnotized. And that's an important component of it. That's why, it's not just about the CD. You need to understand how all that stuff works.
Can they get this book on Amazon or any big bookstore?
Yeah, it's out, in all the major bookstores, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, the bookstores themselves. And if they don't have them in stock, you can always order them. And, it's exciting. It just came out 3 weeks ago, Losing Weight When Diets Fail. And, it's going to make a big difference. I really believe that.
Can they get them from your website?
You can click, if you go to my website, which is www.losingweightwhendietsfail, there's an image of the book. If you click on it, it'll take you right to Amazon.
Okay. Here's an excellent question. I'm concerned about my children being hypnotized. Can you help alleviate my concerns by explaining how this is safe for kids?
In other words, you're concerned that something might happen to your kid?
Well, it's just an email. So.
Oh, it's an email. Okay.
They are concerned about their kids being hypnotized.
Well, there's really, it's interesting because, first of all, there's really nothing to be concerned about because there is absolutely zero, there's nothing that's dangerous or anything about it. It's very, like I said, it's very normal. But here's the interesting thing. Children, okay, that use trance work stuff, children, their minds are so receptive. They're even more, they're much more what we call suggestible than an adult is even. So, I've worked with many children with other things like, nail biting and, I had this kid that sucked his fist and had no teeth on the left side of his mouth. He was a 12-year-old kid, and he just, one session, never did it again. But to answer your question, trust me, there's nothing to be concerned about. It's a very normal, natural thing, and if people begin to use the strategies and the techniques, amazing things happen.
Are there any contraindications to this type of program?
Pardon me?
Are there any contraindications in anybody who shouldn't use this or...
If it's against the advice of your medical doctor or something, or you have a mental disorder, you'd probably want to get clearance from your doctor before you do that. I've just read that somewhere, but I've been doing this stuff for so long. There's not, it's just about it's not like you're asleep or anything. You're actually hyper aware when you're in a hypnotic state. Your mind is just actively moving around and daydreaming. That's when your conscious critical mind is not a factor, and it's now just about that open-mindedness, and that's the receptive nature of your mind.
I understand, too, that you have a private counseling practice. I think
yes.
You said that.
Yes. Yeah, I'm a licensed psychotherapist, right?
What kind of, could these diet people come to you? I mean, is this something you do in your practice?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is mostly what I do. And when I began doing the private stuff, I was doing regular, counseling for people with, teenagers and adults, people with marital issues, all sorts of things, people with anxiety, depression. And, now the bulk of my clientele are people, who are trying to lose weight. And, it's really caught on, and everything is about word of mouth. And when people start losing, I've had people lose 100 pounds and more, many, many people, using these strategies. But I get a lot of people that just want to lose 10, 20, 30 pounds, and it's like, it's not like they lose 10, 20 pounds in a week, but everything changes. Their entire eating habits and exercise habits, everything just changes. And obviously what's going to happen is you're going to begin to lose weight.
Would somebody, would it be December before somebody could get an appointment with you? Because this is a really popular thing going on here.
Say it again? I didn't hear you there, sure.
If somebody wanted to have a counseling session with you, do they just get in touch with you through their website?
No, they'd call me on my office, which the phone number is 201-664-5777. Yeah, it's over here in New Jersey, so, you know, unless you live pretty close.
We'll repeat that again for people real slow.
Yeah, the phone number is 201-664-5777. That's my office line. I do only individual stuff. I don't do any group stuff because I like to focus with each person at a time. But, you know, again, even, you know, the book itself, it's like doing sessions with me. You know, you have the CD. It's really very similar. The book has been made for that reason.
Well, somebody wanted to see you. Would it be months? Just a day session, an hour?
Probably right now. I think I'm probably backed up about a month right now.
Okay.
But then again, you know, if somebody's local, is, you know, people cancel all the time, so I try to, you know, get back to them as soon as I can. But yeah, it's very, you know, it's busy, definitely busy where I am. But you know, again, if somebody's, you know, doesn't live anywhere near where I live, which is about a half hour outside of New York City, you know, he can pick up Losing Weight When Diets Fail and you know, begin to use these same strategies all on your own, and I guarantee you'll see results.
This is a question I'm curious about. Fat Free came out in January. This one just came out in May.
Mm-hmm.
That's such an intriguing title.
Oh, what, Fat Proof?
Oh, is it Fat Proof? I thought it was Fat Free.
Yes, well, actually, you know what? I'll explain something to you. That was the original title of this book.
Well, that's what I wrote in my notes.
Yeah, right. Fat Proof was the original title, and it was originally scheduled to be released in January. And the reason why it was pushed back is because the publishers decided they wanted to change the title of the book. And then, again, you got to go through. And then when you change the title, now you got to go into the entire book and start changing a lot of the text in the book, you know, so that it fits it. And, you know, that's why it was bumped back to May. So, you know, I still have the website, though, which is www.fatproof.net. So
this is the same book, then. Oh.
Yeah, it is.
I love the other title. I love the Fat Proof title.
Yeah, that was, yeah, there's probably some stuff still out there on the internet, Sherry, like with the old cover and all that on it, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, before it never even got released. This is the book. It's now Losing Weight When Diets Fail.
Okay. One of the things you talk about in your literature is the difference between low carbs or low motivation. Can you talk about that a minute? We have about 5 minutes left here.
Oh yeah, actually, I've written a bunch of articles that have been published in magazines and stuff, and I have them on my website and, you know, all over the place. And one of them was called "Low Carbs or Low Motivation." And basically, the whole point behind the article was that when I wrote it, you know, our society was so fixated and still is for the most part on this whole carbohydrate craze. And to me, you know, I've looked at that as nothing more than a craze that's going on. Now you have every supermarket with, you know, carb sections, restaurants with their low-carb menus. You know, people got, you know, the word got out, the media got a hold of it, it got in everybody's living room, and now suddenly everybody's saying to themselves, well, it's all about carbohydrates. You know, if I, you know, avoid the breads and do this and do that, I'm going to lose weight. But I guess you've seen, you know, the latest research that, you know, showed that, you know, that that's not the way to go anymore. So it was really, my whole point was, you know, with low carbs, low motivation was, you know, it's not about carbs. You know, it's about how determined and how motivated and how willing you are to begin to, you know, leave the cake behind, how willing you are to leave food on your plate, how motivated you are to get out of bed and exercise, all things that, you know, you must begin to program into your mind. And I'm not talking consciously, I'm talking subconsciously. So it's kind of interesting. It was just, I was kind of did an analogy in that article about, you know, is it really about low carbs or is it low motivation for people? So expect anybody who's listening, after you read Losing Weight When Diets Fail, expect yourself to be super motivated in every way, shape, and form.
A question is forming here about motivation. And do you address the idea of when people go on a diet, they always think they're doing without. And so I think that's why they always fail.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely. And the thing is, you know, when somebody goes on a diet, what are you thinking about morning, noon, and night?
Food, probably.
Food, right. And yeah. Remember, like what The Secret said, what you think about, you bring about. So, and most likely when you're on that diet, not only are you thinking about food, you are thinking about the foods you can't have, right? And in order to think of what you can't have, you have to think of it first. So if you can't have ice cream, what images in your mind?
Yeah, don't think about elephants.
Yeah, so your image, the image in your mind is a bowl of ice cream. So when you're on a diet, all of those images become vibrant in your mind. And that's where you think cravings come from. Now, boom, you're struggling, you're craving, and then finally you crash. You know, one night you're out, and you know, you have that dessert, and then bingo, you know, you're right back to where you were. So it's all about freeing your mind, and this book is going to teach people how to, you'll begin to automatically foster, you know, instead of images of not having ice cream, you'll foster images of smiling and watching everybody else have the ice cream while you avoid it and feeling empowered doing that.
So this is not a diet.
This is not a diet at all.
Yeah, but losing weight when diets fail.
That's right. That's right.
Do you talk about or can you give us indications of what kind of diets not to go on that really wreck you?
That really what?
That really wreck your body.
You know, I haven't done too much research about all, again, the whole low-carb thing, I'm not a researcher, so I'm not an expert on that, but, you know, I could tell you this much. I had somebody come to my office, somebody I know was telling me that their mother-in-law passed away, and she was in great health, and she was on a low-carb diet for 10 years, okay, and was thin, and died at 54 years old from a heart attack. So, you know, my question is, you know, well, these diets out there, you know, you're playing games with your body, you know, when you're taking, you know, something out of your body and replacing it with this, you know, it's all about balance. It's about eating, you know, decent foods. It's okay to have dessert every now and then. And it's all about eating fewer calories and just paying attention to your hunger feeling. And these are the things that losing weight when diets fail is going to teach people. But it's not even about teaching. It just will happen. You will be sitting down at a restaurant and you will be zeroed in on your hunger feeling, and you'll stop eating when the hunger goes away, not when you're full. Because when you're full, it means you've, you know, eaten grossly overeaten. So it's the whole awareness. It's the whole mental part of it.
We have another quick, I hope you can answer this quick one. Just looked up your book on Amazon. It says, The Clinically Proven Power Programming. Where can we get a copy of the study? I guess she means of how it was clinically proven.
Tell us you can go online and look up, just type in the word hypnotherapy and weight loss and look up, you know, there's tons of research out there about hypnotherapy. But with the title Clinically Proven, the book is loaded with, there's probably about, I don't know, 50 different case studies in my book from my weight loss clinic. Of people who have lost weight doing this. So I have my own, you know, clinically proven people, you know, individuals who have done this and kept it off.
So go out and buy the book.
Yeah, exactly.
What he's saying.
Go out and get a copy of it and, you know, give it a shot. I mean, it's simple.
We are out of time. Tell us the name of your book again and your website.
Title of the book is Losing Weight When Diets Fail. And the website is www.losingweightwhendietsfail.com.
This is great. I hope everybody has enjoyed this and they just run out and we'll all get thin and we'll go from there. There's another question that came out. I don't understand this one. But it talks about the big C. So I don't know what that means.
Oh, yeah. The big C word. That's another article I had written. The big C word. And that stands for confidence.
Confidence?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you for being here. This is great.
Okay. Thank you so much. I very much enjoyed it. I thank all the callers who called in.
Audience, thank you for listening.
Thanks so much, Sherry. Have a great week.
Till next week. This is Sherry Edwards, Sound Health, and Dr. Tom Kirsting on BBS.